Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we're examining every single goddamn page of Awakening, Diablerie, Mexico, a scenario for Vampire the Masquerade, to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is 1992's Awakening, Diablerie, Mexico, the official PDF release from White Wolf. Tonight we're discussing page 11 of Awakening, Diablerie, Mexico, and I am very likely, in tonight's episode, to fall to delusions of grandeur. Why? Take your pick. I mean, if you've been following the show, you know that I did earn fish and chips last night at the end of the last recording session, and yes, it is thrilling that they were mine to do with as I pleased, but it could be anything. It didn't have to be fish and chips, could be anything. What you may not know about first edition Vampire rules is that it is surprisingly easy to go completely off the deep end over the slightest provocation, unless that provocation is consuming the blood of the ancients, which is a surprisingly risk-free proposition on a mental health level. We're in the Diablerie section of Awakening, Diablerie, Mexico. This is the section near the beginning of the book that is taking us through the setting elements, the mechanical elements of the process of Diablerie, in which a vampire consumes the soul of another vampire for a surge of unholy power, or alternatively, kicks. Diablerie is the cardinal sin in many ways of vampire society. It is, at least among the Camarilla and most other groups of vampires, the unthinkable thing. And that's just on a moral level. On a practical level, elder vampires are no joke. And finding and defeating and consuming the soul of a vampire who is your elder, who is your superior, is difficult. Which is a thing this author does not seem to fully grasp about the setting of Vampire the Masquerade, because throughout this section, and it begins mostly on this page, he refers to events as commonplace, gives kind of casual rules for them that if they occurred would be world-shaking events. Let me give you an example of how these rules work. Quote, "So overwhelming are the sensations associated with Diablerie that they can have very real physical consequences. For the Diabolist, there is a chance of frenzy, which arises from the sheer magnitude of the experience. To avoid frenzy, the Diabolist must make a self-control roll against a difficulty of 12 minus the generation of the vessel. Thus, if the vessel is of the 10th generation, the difficulty is only 2. If the vessel is 3rd generation, however, the difficulty is 9! Exclamation mark. And okay, 9's a really high difficulty. Now, I have to admit, 9 is a high difficulty. However, compare this to the regular frenzy scale. Because as I mentioned, vampires in first edition Vampire are kind of on a hair trigger. So, player character vampires, barring the generation background, by default start at 13th generation. That's where all of Vampire Drama Club started out. Two of them are now 12th generation because of the magical blood potions that Louis Pasteur left them, but basically 13 is where you start. The overwhelming experience of consuming the soul of another one of the damned doesn't even start to have a chance to set you off until you're consuming a 10th generation vampire. And at that point, it's a difficulty 2, which is virtually a non-factor. Even a character with a mere one dot of self-control has a 90% chance to avoid a frenzy in that circumstance. But most vampires don't have one self-control. Most vampires have something more like 3 self-control. Suppose that you consume the soul of an 8th generation vampire. That's the highest that a starting player character can go with 5 dots of background points invested in it. So instead of being a jet-setting multimillionaire, your character is 8th goddamn generation, nearly an elder in terms of blood potency. If you have one self-control and you diablerize an 8th generation vampire, you have a 40% chance to frenzy, because that's difficulty 4. That's the same difficulty to avoid frenzy just from seeing blood. Like the thing in the vampire movie where somebody cuts themselves shaving and the vampire makes the stink face at them like, "Bleh, this is awkward in a goth way." Just that little bit of like a twinge. The vampire equivalent of when you notice the cleavage of somebody you don't really have that kind of relationship with. That's the level of like, wow, this is getting to me, that you get from eating the soul of an 8th generation vampire. Now, what about a true elder? A 7th generation vampire? An honest-to-God elder vampire? If you go up to 7th generation, you can have 6 dots and things now. You can get elder vampire powers. You can take your attributes. You can be not just stronger, but smarter, more charismatic, more anything, more attractive, anything than any human can be through the sheer power of the blood of an elder vampire. Consuming a 7th generation vampire has the same chance of making you frenzy as if someone made you angry, or if you saw blood when you were hungry. Very doable. We handle this all the time. So why not move on up? A 5th generation vampire, a Methuselah, likely thousands of years old, immensely powerful, such an elder vampire that they very likely have to consume the blood of other vampires to survive. Human blood doesn't do it for them anymore. Committing diablerie on a fifth generation Methuselah is as likely to make you frenzy as being burned. Not like horribly burned all over your body, not being thrown into the sun, just being burned. Like, you know, if you reach in to get your cookies out of the oven and you accidentally touch the pan, that's as likely to make you frenzy as drinking the soul of a Methuselah. But that's not even the dumbest thing on this page. Because frenzy isn't the only potential consequence of diablerie. Quote, further, the diabolist must make a separate self-control roll against a difficulty of 7, minus the vessel's generation. If this roll is failed or botched, the diabolist gains the derangement delusions of grandeur. This is in addition to any derangement gained through frenzy. So here's where we get some real risk. Frenzy is one thing. Flip your shit for a minute, then you get yourself back under control, you're fine, you're okay. You spend some willpower, you're fine. A derangement is permanent. Delusions of grandeur greatly overinflate your sense of yourself, dangerous in this world that is full of always a deadlier predator, just lurking in the shadows waiting for you. So we don't want this to happen to us. And as it turns out, fortunately, we don't need to worry too much about it, because this risk doesn't even kick in until you're diablerizing a fifth generation Methuselah. I want to emphasize that if you're not familiar with the setting, this is a campaign-changing event. This is the player characters have found and defeated and consumed the very soul of one of the true ancients. And if you do this, then you have to make a roll at difficulty 2 to avoid delusions of grandeur. If you have a self-control of 1, you have a mere 90% chance to avoid this fate. The thing is, this isn't the only way to get delusions of grandeur. Delusions of grandeur is a terror derangement, which you can get from failing any courage roll. So anything involving damage, danger, sunlight, fire could potentially inflict this same derangement. For example, let's say that you're exposed to an open flame and you're a vampire. You're not burned. There's an open flame there, close enough to you that you might worry about it. That's a difficulty 5 courage roll to avoid frenzy. Old World of Darkness dice math is too hard to do on the spot because of the way that ones deduct successes. I'm sure someone listening has the mental math skills to work this out on the spot. I do not. But off the top of my head, the odds of failure there are pretty low, between 6 and 10%, if you were to have average courage, about 3 dots. And I believe that includes an over 2% chance of a botch, which would get you a derangement. So being exposed to an open flame, not a high chance that you're going to get a derangement like delusions of grandeur, but it could definitely happen. Odds over 2%, I believe. That 6 to 10% failure number, that's the same chance that you would get delusions of grandeur for diablerizing a second generation vampire. Not just a clan founder, but one of the progenitors of the clan founders. One of the 3 vampires personally embraced by Cain himself. If you diablerize one of them, your odds of becoming a megalomaniac are about the same as your chances of flipping the fuck out because you noticed there's a fire in the room. Not like spreading, just a fire. Like on a torch, or like a campfire. In fact, your highest possible chance of getting delusions of grandeur for diablerizing one of the second generation, the most powerful blood in history other than Cain himself, your highest chance is if you have a self-control of 1, you have a 40% chance, less than even odds, of developing megalomania, as described in these rules. What is even the point of having these rules? Like, honestly, you're fucking crazy if you don't have delusions of grandeur after diablerizing a second-generation vampire, and yet your odds of developing it are only 40% if you have self-control 1. And by the way, if you have courage 1, seeing a fire has a 1 in 10 chance of giving you a derangement like this. Not only are these rules dumb because they're so very unlikely to apply, but also they're so unlikely to come up. These generation numbers are ludicrous. There shouldn't ever be a campaign where you're out there diablerizing second generation vampires. I mean, do what you want at your table, but the game just does not support it. Like, in a later edition, we're going to get 10 dot powers for various disciplines. Like, if you have 10 dots of dominate, what can you do? And in the final Vampire the Masquerade book, where they do foresee the possibility of the Antediluvians being active in the campaign, all 10 dot disciplines are just a power called plot device, which is the storyteller, like this character can just do whatever you want, basically. That's third generation. Third generation is the storyteller arbitrarily decides what this character can do at any given time. There is no limit on their power. There is no earthly reason that your player character should be out there drinking the blood of vampires more powerful than that. Not just the blood, but the souls consuming the power of vampires who have above plot device level power. And the idea that you would do that and then have like at most a 40% chance of mental health consequences is fucking like, Jesus Christ, I would consume somebody's soul for that kind of mental resilience. It's very impressive, especially for these dread creatures of the night who are surprisingly likely to flip their shit whenever they get burned by a cookie tray. Anyway, that pretty much concludes our look at the normal rules for Diablerie. However, there are some special case rules for Diablerie that I'm not going to spoil for you yet, so join me tomorrow for a dumb vampire trick instead on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the patrons-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that feed and support the show, visit patreon.com/megadumbcast. This season's theme song is Tequila Moonrise by Tequila Moonrise. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.